The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Oh, it certainly is time to open. You are listening to Waking Up in America, and we are a dialogue that continues and continues and continues. And we're celebrating a number of things today. One of the things that we're celebrating is the shift that's going on in Cuba. Another thing that we're celebrating is that we're still alive. I had two great Thanksgivings, actually. And we've been recording for 10 years on this particular station, and 2017 marks our 30th year. I'm Dr. Val Kirkgaard. I'm on air here with Randy Candy Shannon, and we're up to interesting dialogues, and we're supported by Bragg, and that's BRAGG.com, Happily 200, the Coning Company, DrVal.com, and Doctor is all spelled out, and 42action.org. Also, I spend a lot of time going through videos, and I either decide something is speculation, or if I hear it out of the person's mouth, then I'll quote them. I watch a lot of videos, and I invite you to join me on Twitter at Val Kirkgaard 1, because I've done a lot of the work for you. So what we want you to do is to have the most accurate information that we know, and some of the stuff that we talk about, it's predicted, or it's predictable, and then somebody says, well, that didn't happen, it didn't happen. I was laughing when I started to check in and say, we've been on air at the station for 10 years, because 10 years is about how long I personally have been in the dinar game, okay, or the global currency reset. And as Randy was pointing out, every year right around Christmas, we think it's all going to happen again, but I want to fill you in, actually, on how we get manipulated. And how we get manipulated is actually by the shadow government. In fact, when I went to Obama's inauguration in Washington, D.C., I actually met a man from the shadow government that represents Washington, D.C., because it's not a state. So the guy had no voting right, but he started to fill me in on shadow government, and I didn't realize the depth of that at the time. So there's just so many things going on in the world. The global elite does not want to let go of what it's had for centuries, literally. The pimple is very big at this point, and the pimple is getting popped. And the head pimple, as far as I'm concerned, on this planet is actually George Soros, who has actually funded something about 10 minutes ago when I said to our guest today, Chris Burgard, that Soros had funded over 700 incidents. And what did you say, Chris?
That we know of.
Yeah, that we know of. So this man, if you really want to get a picture of him, he's a psychopath. He's a financial genius, and he is responsible for a lot of pain on this planet, and he's got a lot of buddies, and they know how to ruin things when they don't get their way. And so right now, it looks like they may have, the rumor is that they paid Jill Stein $7 million to create a recount that I bet you just wants to put Hillary back in the race. Now, this is Hillary actually stole the nomination from Bernie Sanders. So there's nothing about this woman that's valid or real or true. She may even, I've heard rumors that there's clones of her all over the place. I've actually seen different video with timestamps on it where Hillary was in the same place, like four different places. She was showing up at the same time, and they have video of that. I've seen that footage. There's just so much going on. I watched a lot of Ron Paul this morning, who actually said that he created the fake news list. We have Roger Stone, who's reporting. We have Alex Jones, who just rips it out. I mean, the guy is totally after Soros at this point and the shadow government, and how he's not going to take, they're not going to take America back from us. But it looks like Soros has plopped another $7 million in for this incident, of the recount incident, we'll call it. They're not even recounting all of the counts. They want to recount only certain states, and probably the ones that they have the best machinery in. So it's an interesting, interesting world. And as I say, I'm here with Chris Burghardt and Randy Shannon. And Chris, you were just telling us before we got on air that Fidel Castro had died last night, and I was wondering if you would give our audience your take on that.
Well, I mean, I think it's beginning the end of an era. His brother Raul is still in power, and his brother Raul has been the more, I think, open of the two brothers. I don't know how much we'll see change in Cuba while he's still in power, but it's definitely the end of an era, and I think you may see people. I haven't been in Miami in the last couple of years, but from Little Havana, I would not be surprised if you see people and business owners dancing in the street today.
Randy lives in that area. Randy, be on the lookout. Take your camera, see if you can find dancing.
They did. They're already out in the street.
Are they really?
Yes, of course. I mean, Cubans, they're very vocal, and they've wanted this guy to be gone a while now. We heard he was dead a while ago, and I don't know that there's been very many spottings of him in the last few years. So I don't know if he died a few years ago, if he really died today or yesterday, whatever. But
you mean kind of like Saddam Hussein and kind of like all these other people that are dead or alive?
Exactly. I mean, these people, the Cubans, I have friends that were a part of what they called the Peter Pan program, where they took kids away from their families over there if they had a relative in Florida or Miami, and they put them on a plane. I think they sent in a couple of American Airlines planes, and they brought these kids out. And from that moment on, they were parentless, and they had to go live with relatives. And to this day, I'm friends with some of those people. And it really changed my opinion about people escaping countries and things that happened to them. One in particular, her father was, and his two partners were all thrown into prison when Fidel took over everything. And the only way she got her father out, the other two partners were executed. All the lands, all the business, and everything was taken from them. And she continued to pay off guards for years, forever. She's now like 60 years old. And she was able to get her father out of prison. The partners were assassinated. So,
wow.
Yeah, and she came here. And that was the thing I've realized about all of the kids that were brought like that I met. They came here and became incredible successes, almost to overcome, because they all then sent all kinds of things home for all these years to take care of their families that were back there, that sacrificed giving them up all those years ago.
Wow. So, I had a client when I was in Pasadena who, they were extremely rich before Fidel took over, and mm-hmm. they left Cuba with zero money in a motorboat. Okay, I don't know how far the land distance is between that. But what was really interesting about this woman, now mind you, they escaped Castro's thing. They went over, you know, they came over to the United States in a little motorboat with about four of them in it or something, and landed in the States with practically nothing because the boat was so small, so they couldn't even, probably they had suitcases or something like that. What was really incredible, and I've often thought about people that are willing to take those kinds of risks, this woman back in the States became a multimillionaire again within like 5 years. So what's really interesting is that once you get your consciousness where you want it, you get to recreate yourself the way you want to. And that's what I feel that those who are listeners are on Waking Up in America, are people that want to know what's going on and want to be part of the change. And we're doing that. What is that noise? I don't know what that noise is.
I hear it, too. hear
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's probably NSA, you know? What can I tell you?
It's probably Raul calling in trying to...
There you go. So if you happen to hear a telephone ringing or a beeping, buzzing, or a dog barking or an angel singing, we call in from our homes and offices around the world to cause this program. Now, Jesus spoke in Aramaic in the Lord's Prayer. Pray means to go out into the world and get that which is yours, not the way it was interpreted, to get you down on your knees praying to somebody in the church or some imagined God. I have a deep sense of a God being present. I also have a deep sense of the, what's the right word for it, the quantum field. And in the quantum field, when you're in a certain energy, which is one of the reasons I do so much Landmark, I'm in my 62nd seminar now over at Landmark Education, because I get more and more freedom in that world. And in the quantum world, do you guys know what the fastest thing is in the world? Most people think it's light. Do you know what it is?
What
anybody?
Is it? I don't think. Chris is silent.
Okay. I was still waiting to talk about Cuba, but we're going someplace else.
Well, we're wandering over someplace else, okay? And what we're wandering to is that in the quantum field, you think a thought, and it manifests. So if we only get 10 or 20,000 people creating a future that has no George Soros in it because they've been brought to justice, that evil has been exposed, and that's what Chris has spent a lot of his time doing. Randy and I have spent a lot of time doing this, and we sure ain't alone. Ron Paul has spent time doing this. As I said, Alex Jones is pretty darn amazing. Roger Stone, oh my God, he has been working his little butt off getting news out. And the government doesn't like it. It's called they call it false news, and we were laughing before the program because the false news that we know of is ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and all the rest of it. So if you want somebody that I think is reliable, I think the information from Ron Paul and I think the relationships from Alex Jones are very reliable. So we just wanted to acknowledge the shift in Cuba and the dancing in the streets. We want to inform you that there's a deep chance that Soros is going to get, he's going to make it so it's going to look like Hillary Clinton won the election. He's going to try to do that. And if you want to know more about this man, actually go and Google the 60 Minutes interview of him, and your blood will go cold when you see the way he smiles when he thinks of destroying worlds and things of that nature. He took down Russian politics and finances in the 90s. He went after Japan. He went after Thailand, I think, a number of them, and now he's after the U.S. So we're not going to let him get there. So it's more and more important that you just, if somebody says blah, blah, blah about the election, you can just say, I don't think so. So, Randy, what would you like to pull in here today?
I don't understand why this guy who's ancient, there's like four of them, there's a group of four of them, they just don't die. I don't know what's going on with them, but I wanted to hear, Chris, you had something else you wanted to say about Cuba?
Just a personal reflection. I don't know how many people have actually been down there to Florida, but I just made me think of a moment. We were on the presidential campaign 5 years ago with Herman Cain, and we went to a retirement home, and most of the Cubans there didn't speak English. Even their kids had pretty heavy accents, and then the grandkids spoke pretty much of American dialects. But you talk about feeling freedom. You talk about liberty. You talk about being proud to be an American. You sit in the middle of a community of Cubans that are Americans that have escaped Cuba. It is just amazing. You want to be reminded or schooled in what freedom means and how great this country is. You go hang around with these folks, and it doesn't surprise me when that woman became a big success, because these are folks that appreciate this system, they appreciate this country, and they are just driven for freedom. And
that's the thing, Chris and Val, that the media didn't, you know, they said, oh, the Cubans were for Hillary Clinton in the race, and the bottom line is, Chris, you're right, because what they saw happening to our country was what had already happened to theirs, and they knew that Trump was the only answer. I didn't have one Cuban friend that was for Hillary, so I really felt like that was slanted. There was probably some cheating going on, because they did happen to take Dade County and Broward County. There's probably some cheating going on down here, if I had to guess.
There always has been cheating going on there, because the Bush family has pretty much either been in the foreground or the background of owning Florida and Texas.
Right. I mean, and I can't say it for sure, but I mean, I asked friends, and I got lots of friends down here, and I did not hear one person say Hillary. And she wasn't getting people to show up for her events by any comparison to what he had showing up for his events. And I believe that that is a huge statement. So,
and I want to tell you something,
you guys. Country.
Photoshopped. Yeah. Did you get the picture that I think I sent it to you. They photoshopped a big room full of supposed Hillary followers, right? But when you looked at the Photoshop and they circled the heads, there was like the big photograph was repeated like six times and then put into Photoshop and claimed to be a crowd. So this is the woman that stole election. Rumor, this is a rumor, I haven't heard this straight from somebody's lips, that she paid $1 million even to be Secretary of State. God knows what she paid or what she said to Bernie Sanders when she told him she was taking it. God knows what they promised or threatened James Comey with. You know, it's just endless. So you got to take a look. And if you go after Alex Jones or Ron Paul or a few other people, I totally trust them. So would you recommend those, Chris, and anybody else?
My experience with Mr. Paul and Mr. Jones is they are incredibly straight shooters. Ron Paul was inside the Hill for years and years and knew what was really going on and wasn't afraid to speak about it. Kind of like your buddy, Mr. Roger Stone. I mean, I kind of laughed when you said his little butt off. It's hard to imagine, you know, that affectionate sort of term with Roger Stone, who's a bulldog. But
let me tell you something. I actually met Roger in person. I went to his book signing when he was in Santa Monica. And we just hit it off, and he can be really funny too. So that's I totally appreciate him. He's the guy that if you want to get in touch with the war crimes of the Clinton Foundation and the Clintons, he wrote a book called The Clintons' War on Women, and he co-authored that with Rob Morrow, and we've had him on the show, and I'm after Roger again because these guys have facts and figures. And then I want to get our Mr. B over here for another round, and I think you'd really enjoy him because he doesn't talk about what he doesn't know about. Like you, Chris? Yeah,
I think that Roger Stone's voice, you know, speaking unafraid in the wilderness, and, you know, Clinton Cash by Peter Schweitzer went a whole long way in influencing, you know, the direction of this last election, because these people, you know, put facts to and raised voices to concerns that people felt but didn't know. And then when they put, you know, the truth out there, the light just shined on it.
You know, we had Vincent Bugliosi on the show. You know who that is, that attorney?
He was the prosecutor for the Manson trial.
Exactly, okay. And he's I think, it was maybe 7 or 8 years ago. He's really quite out there. I'm going to check with him and see where he is in all of this, because that guy was going, he wrote a book called, I think, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder.
I'm not familiar with that.
I actually sent out that as a show title, and I actually had my account shut down because they thought I was trying to have him murdered. And I wrote them back and said, listen, guys, that's the name of the book. So then they opened my account up again. So there's just all kinds of controls going on when they talk about a shadow government. They ain't kidding.
Well, when they're the fake media, and I'm really glad Ron Paul put that list out there. You know, the media that I've listened to for years, and I kind of think that our show is like that. I mean, we talk about opinion, and we talk about the conspiracy, what they call conspiracy theory, and really, ours is the real news. And as a story on Drudge says, it doesn't fit their agenda. Because they've got an agenda, you know, they've got scripts, and everyone gets handed the same script. And we don't do scripted. We're very unscripted here.
Why we do dialogue.
Breitbart.
Why we don't do these lectures, or people want to get like a whole stream of information out. It's something happens when we interact. I've made mistakes. Randy and I have said things from time to time. A listener will call and say, you should check this. I'll check that, and I'll go, oh, you know.
But it's all plugged in, guys, because what this show is this show, like you told me when you asked me to be on it, it's a conversation. This show inspires free thinking. This show inspires out-of-the-box, perspectives. Now, that's very dangerous to a lot of people. Let's take a look and see what's happened in this last week. Okay, Trump is going to become president. Trump is already doing more things as a president-elect to affect policy than I can remember presidents doing.
Anyone.
Before they go in. Now, here's what people know he's going to do. That whole Net Neutrality Act whether they tried to control the Internet, he's going to boot that. He believes in exchange of free ideas. So he boots that, and the same week, this whole movement comes out about getting rid of fake news sites. Well, and who's to decide what's a fake news site? Well, a fake news site will be any organization that impedes, the agenda. So it's very important that Americans stay very aware now, leave the Internet free, and push forth the mantle of the First Amendment, because it's going to be under attack now. What happens is when these, you call them shadow movements, some people call them progressive, some people just call them anti-American, but when these movements face a wall, they come up against hard resistance or the mettle of the American people. American people say, no, this isn't right. They pull back, and they'll start coming around your flanks. And that's exactly what this whole thing is with fake news sites.
Here's what I don't get, though, Chris, is why are they... I know they've been working on this for a while, but now it's really coming out. But he's getting sworn in January. So why bother in the last month and a half to 2 months to really push this agenda forward?
Well, what's happening as I can tell, Randy, is they're going to try very hard to invalidate the election, and with it, and Soros is a multi billionaire, and we have so many crooks that are still underground. They're like gophers. You think you're walking on this path, and the next thing you know, you got your foot down a gopher hole.
You have to harness the energy of the disaffected populace, which right now you've got all tens of thousands of people in the street that feel butthurt because they didn't get their person in there, and so they're taking to the streets and they're looking for any reason to invalidate the presidency of Trump before he gets in there.
Totally, and if this $7 million to Jill Stein is true.
That's actually, he didn't offer her more
because if he could take back the United States for only $7 million by causing all that mischief,
well,
a lot of people fight.
How's it a fraction, Chris? What's the evidence? What do we got?
Well, the other thing is he's publicly stated, and if you read Breitbart this week, that he's vowed to put up $10 million to fight hate crime in the United States.
Yeah, I heard that. How do you figure that? So how does that work?
Well, there's $17 million right now that you're throwing into the fight. Like I said, that's what we know of.
Oh, it's more than that, because I saw a couple of the ads, for they were actually hiring rioters at $300 a day. And one of the things that they said, I saw the ad on it, and one of the things that they said about that was that they actually had, they had, weed infiltrators, that they only needed to put one of these guys in the crowd. And these guys were so tuned to hearing what people were doing that they could take a crowd of younger people and jack them around so that they saw how evil Trump was and how great Hillary was and stuff like that. And these guys were getting paid big money. So it's way past $17 million at this point.
Well, and again, I can speak to my only firsthand experience, but being in the rally, the parade, protest they had here in L.A., 2 weeks ago, you could pick out the well-meaning American people that felt something versus the American people that were pros. Because I've been in the middle of these rallies for the last 12 years, and you can see the agitators, you can see the brains. And the same thing was in Honduras. You see, okay, this person is doing this, this person's working for this guy, this person's got that, this person that won't put his face on camera is going around talking to all these people. You see it everywhere. I mean,
are you going to do a documentary on this, Chris?
No.
Well, listen.
I got up early in the morning to be in your show.
I want you to know. I hope you got your cup of coffee. Right now, I'm going to ask you to hop on over to our website at WakingUpInAmerica.com, were a little bit late on the updates for the show. They got shuffled off somewhere. Maybe NSA stole them. I don't know what happened to them. I've got to resend the information. So you'll see November 9th on the show. But if you go over to the webpage, the shows are all there. There's a tune in here thing. You click on that, it takes you over to Voice America, and the shows are there. We want to just quickly thank our sponsors and the people that we like. We have Patricia and Paul Bragg's apple cider vinegar drink, and it's really good stuff. And apple cider vinegar, there's like 22 things or something that apple cider vinegar does for you. It's very amazing stuff. I take it every single day, and I'm grateful for it. We have, and you can get a Walking on Water card if you send me an email at val@wakingupinamerica.com, and that's Patricia Bragg has had a picture of Jesus Christ passed down through her family for 7 generations, so you know where she's coming from. And I think her father started the first store, health food store, in 1912 or something like that. We have Protandim. All of these are listed on the website. It's a blood purifier, and it fights inflammation. You can clear up your sinus problems by a 5,000-year-old process by going over to coningcompany.com, which cleans your eustachian tubes. You can always go to Randy Shannon's 42action.org for a good show. Randy's against corrupt government, not government.
Yes.
So she's a total stand for what she does. I love the dedication that the people that come on this program have. They're all people that are willing to stand up in the world. You can follow the links to the website and see yourself what's possible. You can pick up some El Pinto salsa at Ralph's. And Jim Thomas is actually a destination restaurant in El Pinto in Albuquerque, New Mexico, that he owns with his twin brother, and it's like Kangen water for everybody that's there. It's an elegant place. We have Marketing with the Stars with Raw, and if you want to advertise something, his prices are very reasonable. I think his mailing list is 80 to 100,000, something of that nature. You can check out the Galactic Federation with Sheldon and Colleen. They do a monthly show. And whether I understand how extraterrestrials work or not, you know, who's here, who isn't, I actually met with a guy last night that actually designed Star Wars. All that, and he's not sure about extraterrestrials. I find the conversation comforting to think that I have galactic friends that are helping prevent the war and helping, you know, maybe even one of them maybe give Fidel a little kick in the butt, and he finally got acknowledged as dead. So the Cubans are happy. There's all kinds of forces that are helping us. Depending upon your point of view, you might be interested in Buddha or God or the quantum field. But what everybody's looking up to is a force greater than themselves in some way. So if you realize that, then you won't be so alone. And that's what Waking Up in America is all about, and that's why it's the name of that. And if you saw any of the movies, I can't think of the name of it, but what is it, Randy, that had the movies where they were from outer space and they fought the aliens from outer space, and Tommy Lee Jones was one of them. Do you know, Chris, what I'm talking about?
Oh, The Men in Black? Okay.
Yeah. That was, I would say, the first thing when people started actually enjoying the possibility of of alien assistance, okay?
Well, I'm actually married to an alien.
Are you?
Yes.
Would
wife,
you hear me say that?
My wife is otherworldly. She's an angel.
Very nice. That was.
And here's the deal. What you don't know, I don't think, Chris, is that I actually, in the Republic, I created an angel corps. So all of the people on my team in the Republic, we went out and we helped people every day. Every day in some small way, whether it was to hold the door, buy somebody a cup of coffee, or give them a pair of shoes or whatever. That's what our angel corps does. So
yeah.
I'm glad you brought up angels, and Lisa would certainly qualify. Totally.
She's absolutely. And here's something that kind of a squirrel moment, but you talk about shifts and where we're going. One thing I shot when I was in that protest 2 weeks ago, there was a homeless man that, and anybody's been to LA, there's a lot of homeless people. that this fella was in dire need. He was no shoes, sitting on the side of the road, on the sidewalk, shaking, wrapped in a tattered blanket. And I must have watched and filmed, I don't know how many thousands of people walk by this man. People that were screaming, love Trump's hate, love Trump's hate. Do you think one of those people stopped to help this man or give him a bottle of water or do anything? And the hypocrisy of that moment really struck me, that we have all these folks and young people out talking about charity and love, but the actions of what I saw in that brief moment was invalidating that.
I get it.
I think the shift and the success that we see in the next 4 years is if we go to a PFP sort of culture, because you can't just change things in the political world, and even if you...
Just stop you, because I don't know what a PFP is.
Prosperity, faith, and pride.
Oh, right! It's so much better when you spell it out.
And I think that's... If that happens, I mean, you can talk about changing our inner cities, but the reality is, you know, if we can get kids down there to have the opportunity to have a future that includes a six-figure income and a 401k, that's how you get kids out of gangs. You know, you have to bring prosperity to all corners of this country. And as far as faith, you know, Val, you were just talking about believing something bigger than ourselves. I think that that we're not only acknowledging the war that's been on Christianity in this country, but there's a tipping point. And I think that a big reason why Trump is in office right now is because he's been lifted up by so many people of faith around this country. And, you know, we'll see if he turns into a Cyrus. You know, there are those of us that pray that he does. But at the same time, when people that may not be Christians but believe in something bigger than themselves, when they're surrounded by people of faith and people that are moving in faith, it raises the, it's a metaphysical term, help me out here, when the, not the standard comes up, but the vibe, the vibration, it raises the vibration.
Vibration, so you're looking level, for frequency. Yeah.
Right, and it gets people more into what their faith is, whether their path is Buddhism or you know, like the
now, self-rule. Buddhism is different from Buddhism.
Not Buddhism.
I'm sorry, you have to remember, I'm married to an angel, so I get easily confused.
I totally understand, I understand.
I
after living next to the Self-Realization Fellowship and Yogananda, he came to the U.S. in the 1920s, and he started teaching meditation. And now these places are all over the world, and the cool thing about them is that the Fellowship for Self-Realization acknowledges the saints and the great people of all religions. It also does, in every service, you do a meditation and you send energy into the world and you agree to help each other and all kinds of things. So I've been through Science of Mind. I'm married into the Lutheran Church. I love the Episcopal Church. I love the pomp and ceremony, and I had a crush on the Father. And I also thought it was an intelligent way of being that they could do what they did in the church and basically tell Henry VIII, no, we're going to turn into something else. You get to be divorced. You know, they took that Catholic thing that had people together killing each other and being miserable and gave them an out. And so I've been to Michael Beckwith's church. He's very famous in this realm. I have to tell you, the crowning experience for me is being part of the Self-Realization Fellowship. And since I started, and then Landmark has given me the ability to actually I don't really want to sound like Alex Jones, but I'm really glad Alex Jones is around, because I want people to know that they actually have something that they can do about this. And I created, when I was really broke, Chris, and I wanted to give something away, and I actually had a Kangen water machine. I actually would load my car up with bottles that I refilled with Kangen water, and I would pass it out to anybody asking for money, because sometimes I didn't have any money to give them, but I would get these plastic bottles and fill them out, and I gave one away as recently as yesterday. So I'm known in my community as Aqua Woman, and it doesn't cost you that much to do that. Or you just, Sometimes I'll just give them, I'll be shopping and I'll see somebody standing there and I'll just hand them a banana or something like that. It doesn't have to be a certain form that you do this. I've made a commitment to myself and my community to do at least one good deed every day.
See, and I think that we've had a minimum of 8 years of the standard lowering itself, the vibration, frequency, whatever you guys want to call it. And so now that people are excited that Trump is coming and he's about to be, you know, in the most powerful seat, people all over the country are standing. And I saw just an incredible story that came out. There's a website now called Professor Watch List. And on this watch list, it's about exposing the professors who discriminate against the conservative students, which has been happening forever. It's about exposing the professors that promote anti-American values, a very left propaganda in the classroom. I have friends, literally, that are teachers today. Thank goodness they finally made it through. But they wrote a spiritual piece, a paper, and got failed for that. And that was at the University of Iowa. They complained. They took it all the way to the dean, and they ended up having to redo the whole class all over again at, what, $600, $900 for the course because of a leftist professor who didn't believe in Christianity, who failed this person on that paper. And that was, like, a very critical piece. And now she's the student is now, you know, in the workforce, and she is at one of the most expensive Christian schools down here in South Miami. So she finally got around it, but it cost her almost $1,000 because of a leftist professor. So Professor Watchlist, I don't know if it's called ProfessorWatchlist.com, but it's people standing. And this is a watch list now that's going to just absolutely shine the light on these horrible professors that have been in our schools indoctrinating our fresh-minded students that we send there trying to get them to move on to the next phase of life. So kudos to that. Very cool.
I think that's amazing, the Professor Watchlist they put up there. We've all been aware of what's been going on in our colleges and universities. My experience firsthand was this year my foster son is enrolled in community college out here, and he would be telling me stories like what you're saying. I'm like, yeah, until he started taping these lectures, and I started listening to these guys, and one of his professors, and it's interesting, it didn't matter whether it was an English class or a sociology class or a film class, they would all come back to the same thing about capitalism is bad, and his one class is basically the professor was saying that Christianity is evil, capitalism is bad, and the root of all evil and oppression in this nation. And then you start diving in this guy's background, and he was born in the Soviet Union. His father was a big part of the mover and the shaker in the political party in the Soviet Union. And here he is now, you know, affecting and programming the minds of 70 young people.
God, you just
said
that, doesn't it, Chris?
And here, and I've got my foster son, who is a veteran, and he's sitting next to a kid whose dad is a pastor. And these the only two kids are looking around. And you see all 70 heads bobbing up and down, buying this stuff. And these kids going, whoa! Wait a minute! This isn't right. This doesn't resonate with me.
Now, my guy have tenure.
I got to make a choice. Do I want to get a good grade and pass this class, or do I just, you know, stand up for what I went over to Afghanistan and fought for? So, it's. A cleansing. If a cleansing is coming, and there are good people in the university systems. I just saw something go down where with my foster son being a veteran, they wanted to do a memorial for the 22 suicides a day that was happening, and they wanted to do it in time for Veterans Day. So they're on a civic engagement committee, and he and his buddy, who's another veteran, were on this committee to put up a memorial. The school was all behind it. The school said, by the way, we have funds. We have a funds has over $70,000 in it, so we're willing to help you guys sponsor this and do whatever. Well, when they presented their idea that they wanted to put up like grave markers representing veterans that had committed suicide, and there were going to be crosses involved, all of a sudden they started running into obstacles like you wouldn't believe, and the funding was cut off, and they were butting heads with certain people in administration. And there were certain professors that came up to him and said, hey, I'm all for what you're doing, but, you know, I'm just going to tell you that, you know, outside of the meetings. And what these kids did was they sponsored themselves. They used their own credit cards to put down deposits. They ponied up. They worked for a couple of weeks building all these markers. And they put on the event, and it was one of the most successful events the college has ever had. And they included every religion in the services. They had crosses. They had Muslim. They had there's a sign for atheists. It's like a proton coming out of a galactic field. They had a sign for other. They had Jewish stars. And then they had a big cross in the back of the field of grave markers. They had an 8-foot cross where people would write notes to veterans on these index cards and then stick them onto the cross. As far as we know, there's at least one veteran who goes to school here that said that may have saved his life because he didn't think people cared. He was that dark until he saw and read these notes that strangers were writing to him. And it turned out to be a wonderful thing. So I think that's what so much of our hope in the country in these coming years is if we can do a tipping point in the pop culture, if we can get people back to prosperity, faith, and pride, that those are good things, and not find the false narrative that success is evil that you see these anarchists pushing, we're going to see some really wonderful things happen, because that's how we get to what Val is talking about, where we have an attitude of service, whether it's giving somebody clean water to drink or a banana, but it's the mentality of what can I do for you versus what can you do for me?
Well, I'll tell you, Chris, one thing that totally upset me, and I posted it on Facebook and also on Twitter, was a veteran, I think it was in New York City, who was actually wrapped up in a blanket and frozen stiff dead. And it was like we gave $3 billion to one of the Middle Eastern. No, Obama cut $3 billion out of the planet, taking care of veterans and stuff, and transferred it to some, maybe, I don't know if it was Saudi Arabia or one of the Middle Eastern countries. And it was like we had all that money to take care of that, and we had frozen vets. In Malibu, there's a place called Pepperdine College, and it was profound what happened on Veterans Day. What they did was, it wasn't just for suicides; it was for all the men and women that had been killed in the wars, and the whole hillside. There were flags, American flags, all over that hillside, fluttering in the breeze to honor those who had given their lives. And it's making me cry right now just to think about it. There are people doing wonderful work in this world, and I actually sent out a prayer. I got down on my knees, and I prayed to the forces that be that WikiLeaks lets out something that's even more disgusting than they've let out in the past, and that they keep doing it, because I'm sure in all of those 650,000 emails, there's a lot more stuff in there, so we need people of courage, and it doesn't have to be a courage where you have to sacrifice your life for it. It's what Chris was talking about. To stay with a guy, I actually went in Santa Monica about 20 years ago, which is when I really got into this, you guys. And what I did was I walked the streets of Santa Monica, which had a very high population of homeless people. And what I found was that their expectations were so low, all they wanted was a cigarette and a cup of coffee, because I offered $25 a day to help somebody out. I did help a lady get into a hotel room with her baby because she was staying in a place where the rats were biting at her child. So I was able to help her get into a hotel room for a night and refer her to stuff. But we need to do that kind of thing. You know, if you save up 10 lattes, you can do something really pretty cool for somebody with that 10 lattes.
Absolutely.
There's just all kinds of things that we think we have to have that we don't have to have, or we think we have nothing to give, and that's even as sad as everything else, that you think you have nothing to give, and yet you do. You have a warm hand, or you have a thoughtful moment where you do something, or you help somebody out. It's life-changing.
I got to tell you something funny about that, Val. I've got to jump in. This morning, I went to send, and this just goes so hand-in-hand with what you're talking about. I went to send a video out. It was some political, I don't even know what it was, to like 15 people, okay? And I thought I was sending that video. And in reality, what I... that was cracking me up. I sent the word, thanks. And I had 15 people send me back, lol, thanks. And thanks for what? Hey, what'd I do? You know, I had the funniest responses. And I was really not trying to send thanks. Apparently, the copy didn't work, and it was sending whatever my last copied word was, which was thanks. And it went to these 15 people, and it just, like, brightened their day. And
yeah.
I was just saying the word thanks. That's
and
it.
Sometimes just putting your hand on somebody's shoulder that you don't even know.
Yeah.
That's suffering with something, say, I hear you, I'm, you know.
It's just sending a positive, a good vibe. I mean, it just cracked me up, the responses
that
I got.
And that's really what's been at stake. We've been in a battle for the soul of America, and we're smack dab in the middle of it, but as you said, things are shifting, the tide is turning. And
yeah.
The stuff that you're talking, Val, that you're doing, that's being a warrior for America. That is being a force of light.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's what we have to reclaim this country for. It is for external dark forces and internal dark forces. I mean, draining the swamp, we need to drain the swamp, and we need to have a revival in Washington, D.C. I mean, I'm one of those people that absolutely knows that God was the major force in getting this country going and inspiring regular people to stand up to do great things. Well, we're still that country. We may have the internet and smartphones and everything else, but at the core of us, that's who we are. That's why when you saw those flags sitting on Pepperdine, you felt a certain way. That's why when I was at my daughter's school last year and they were doing a multicultural fest where they were singing the national anthem from China and from Israel, and it was supposed to just be the speaker on stage who was singing the singer, when they did the American anthem, all of a sudden these kindergartners started singing, and the voices of these little kindergartners sounded like angels, and it took over the whole school, and the teachers at first were like, shh, she's singing on stage. The whole school started singing the national anthem, and it made me want to cry, because it's like, that is the spirit that we have
yes.
in this country. And you can put as much money as you want from the Saudis and from the dark forces into our media and into our school system, but you have not dampened that spirit. And I think that the people peaked too soon. I think they saw Obama having to come out, and they only had so much chance to throw everything at it. And that's why you see George Soros come out of the shadows and admit that he's funding these things. And that's why you see the paid protesters taking the street. And so much of what people have been talking about for years, like myself, that, hey, they're paying people to protest. Hey, they're doing this. Hey, this is an orchestrated movement. America is now getting, it's not Alex Jones InfoWars conspiracy theories. It's actually really, really happening. And America, to make a cliche cool statement here, is waking up. We are waking up America, and that to me is one of the brightest, most hopeful things I've seen in my lifetime.
Totally. And for those of you that have been following the global currency reset, Randy says, I noticed the pattern here.
yeah.
Thanksgiving, we were told we're going to get it. And I said, well, it's not quite that it's the global currency reset that isn't happening. What's happening is, and I found this out from a friend who's on the inside, and when she told me about a month ago, she said there had been over something like 306 or 60 attempts to have the global currency reset go through, and these buggers, they won't let it happen because our whole economy is based on debt, and they collect the money from the debt, and they print trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, and now gold is coming into play, and the Chinese are coming forward and helping out, and people, there's royal families. I watched about a year ago, I watched a lot of the royal families of Asia. There was one royal family that crossbred for over 100 years so that they could include as the heir that would help with this global currency reset, all of the different royal families. And I saw the prince talk, okay, that was about a year ago. So there's been many attempts to do this. What we're dealing with is 209 countries. So be of faith, because it's the year of the Jubilee. The money is there to do this. There's gold that's been transferred. Something's going to happen. It has to, because the like not having the dinar or not having the dong reset or the Zimbabwe money, the whole, it's kind of like trying to stand on one foot for 100 years. they don't want this to happen because they don't get to make money off you. Now, we've been listening. Randy and I have been listening with peaked ears about the possibility of this global currency reset happening and the world reevaluating. The latest news is that over 200 million people in the world, and that's not big when you think of how many billions there are, but 200 million people, when this reset actually occurs, will be contributing. We're in a situation where we're actually talking about cities that we're going to help rebuild and stuff. The funds are so enormous. So it's part of the change. It's as soon as people found out Trump had been elected, different things started getting healing. Were you telling me this morning, Randy, or was it you, Chris, that that Trump was actually talking with Israel and things of that nature? Was it you?
It might have been Chris, but he's talking to all kinds of world leaders, which is very exciting because my whole lifetime we've been enemies with some, you know, not Israel, but with other countries, and I'm just really loving the fact that he's putting the olive branch out there. We don't have to always be at war. What's that about?
Yeah, totally. So things are changing, things are happening, and one of the things that Ron Paul said in the last week was that we needed to get out of NATO. And I heard Trump say exactly the same thing. So Trump may have done some crude talking at 12 years ago. Come on. Haven't you ever crude talked in your life? And would you have said it if you had been known that you were being recorded? I mean, sometimes we're just not on course. That's the biggest thing they can find out about him. Now they're after whether his barren, his child is autistic. Who cares?
Yeah, let it be.
Nobody cares. There's just any way that they can cut. So be courage. Be men and women and children of courage. And as we've been all saying on this program, your courage doesn't have to, you know, put you on the lines if that's not your calling. Your courage can be gathering a petition to get a teacher rejected, perhaps, or something of that nature.
And again, I think that's when when you get in the culture, here you have a guy who's now president of the United States that took on the chin more insults and more threats than anyone we've seen, and he stood up and he's doing it. And I think that empowers the rest of us to stand up and say, let them call you racist, let them call you a hater, and when they're done, now have the conversation about truth. And if we can stand in truth, we can empower 330 million people.
Yeah, well, you know, Chris, I'm going to side with you on that. I bet you're Randy, too. Aren't you?
Exactly.
I imagine you like that one, too, huh, Randy?
I did.
Whoops.
Very good.
Whoops.
End of
show. The perfect ending. This program has been brought to you by Kirkgaard Intergalactic Media, our radio partners, CodingCompany.com, Happily200.com, HeavenIncorporated.com, Dr. James Murphy, John Denver, Tippi Hedren, Carol Channing, Deepak Chopra, Ed Asner, Dennis Weaver, Larry Hagman, and Esther Williams, Admiral Eugene Carroll, Jane Goodall, and Jonathan Granoff, Dennis Kucinich, Chris Burgard, Agent X, Terry Cole Whitaker, David R., descendant of King David, 42action.org, Edward F. Griff III, Chalene Nightingale, and DrVal.com, and doctors all spelled out. Thanks to Paul Sebrag for leaving us your daughter, Patricia, to continue your work. And a big thanks to our team at Voice America, Jeff Spinard, our producer, Ryan Treasure, Randy Jackman, our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mike Vitale, Mary Flynn, and Ron Simon, and our research director, Ron Hayes. To John Young at Totally Gospel, a big thanks for all the airtime and friendship you have given us over the years. A big thanks to our webmaster, Richard Morrison. Merci beaucoup to Bette Migan for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People, which is available to you as a free MP3. A friend to listen. Kind to yourself, be kind to somebody else, and do a good deed today, at least one. Thanks for listening.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all you new, pouring through. Now your heart is open.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.